Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind listener mail. This is Robert Lamb. So, it's just me this week. Joe is out on parental leave, so I'm going to try and tackle the old mailbag here just by myself and see how it goes. All right, this first one comes to me from Brett. Brett writes in and says, "Greetings, Rob, Joe, and Seth. First off, congratulations to the McCormick family on their wonderful new addition." Yes, indeed. Congrats again to Joe and family. I was actually out walking in the neighborhood just a day or two after the birth, and the whole family happened to be driving by me while I was walking around, so I got to peek in the back seat and actually see the baby. So that was pretty cool. Anyway, Brett continues, "Longtime listener here, and nearly every episode makes me want to write in with thoughts or comments, and I do frequently chime in on the discussion module." The discussion module, for everyone out there, that's the Facebook group for this show. We don't really do much on social media these days, because social media, but we do have that Facebook group, the Stuff to Blow Your Mind discussion module. You can go and request access to that. And basically, if you just know the name of the podcast, you can get in there. We also have a Discord group, and if you email us, and we'll send you the link for that, so you can join up there. And really, the only other presence we have online these days is the Letterboxd, Letterboxd.com account. Our username there is Weird House, and that's just about the Weird House Cinema episodes. Anyway, I'll stop interrupting Brett here, because Brett continues. "The series on goats brought to mind a favorite character with goat qualities, that of the poet Martin Silenus from the Hyperion Cantos by Dan Simons, who, when battling writer's block, paid a body sculptor to transform him into a satyr and spent 10 randy years in this form looking for his muse. Only the true artists suffer for their art. Keep up the great work, Brett." Oh, I'd completely forgotten about this. I read the first Hyperion book and very much enjoyed it, but didn't press on with the series. There are definitely some memorable parts in that book that stuck with me, but I am totally blanking on this. So I don't know if this was a big part of the book, if this was just a sort of an offhand mention of something interesting and weird, or if perhaps this is something from a book I haven't read yet. All right. So this is, we're going to receive a fair number of goat emails here. We did a three-part series on goats. And then, of course, we have another episode that came out subsequently that concerns goats. So keep the goat-related email coming. We'll continue to read it. All right. This next one comes to us from... I don't think I copied the name of this individual, but at any rate, this listener writes in and says, "Hi, Robert, Joe, and Seth. I will try to keep this short because I am a poor writer. Anyway, the Radiolab podcast did an episode on the Galapagos Islands and shared the interesting but sad details about the Judas goats. Basically, when the island is covered in goats, it's easy to find them, but as you exterminate more and more, the remaining are hard to get. Judas goats have entered the game." And then they include a bulleted list here. Find a goat, sterilize, and put a tracker on it. Let it loose. Wait about a week or two, and then track down the Judas goat. Judas goats will have found more goats. Exterminate all the goats but the Judas goat. Wait about a week or two, then track down the Judas goat. Judas goat will have found more goats. Exterminate all the goats but the Judas goat. You get the idea. And that is the sad and lonely life of a Judas goat. And they included a link to the podcast episode. Yes, now that it's been brought to my attention, I do vaguely remember this episode of Radiolab from I think a number of years back. But I remember it being a good one now. But yeah, at the time I had not been to the Galapagos and did not really anticipate that it was a place I would ever get to go to. So maybe it didn't have that personal connection with me at the time. But certainly check that out if you want to hear more on the use of Judas goats in the Galapagos Islands. All right, let's see what we have next in this very goat-themed episode of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. This one comes to us from Oliver. Oliver writes in and says, "Hi, Robert and Joe. I'm a big fan of the podcast and glad there's a topic I can touch on. I grew up in Nimbin, a small rural town in the northern rivers of New South Wales, Australia, where my parents had plenty of mountainous acreage. For quite a few years, we had a small flock of goats to help with land clearing and vegetation control. We would also select a goat to eat each year or so. I have Fijian heritage and love the goat curry my dad would make. It's got to be one of my favorite foods. Anyway, one time in high school, I was on school holidays and was home with my brothers. We suddenly heard a scream that to this day was the most blood-curdling and heart-racing I've ever heard. It sounded like a mixture between a humans and goats, and it was coming from where the goats were grazing. My brothers and I rushed down to find one of our adults stuck in a tree with her hoof lodged between two branches that connected at a Y shape. The screams were ear-piercing and almost physically painful up close. We worked to lift her weight up off the hoof and dislodged her. We suspect she got into this predicament by standing on her rear legs with her front legs pressed against the tree when grazing up high. One leg must have slipped and landed between those two branches, trapping her. Listening to these episodes reminded me of all the fun that comes with looking after goats, and I miss playing with them when I was a kid. Thank you for reigniting my goaty memories. Keep on blowing minds, Oliver." All right, this next one comes to us from Nyarlathotep on Discord, I believe. Again, our Discord group, if you want to join it, shoot me an email and I'll shoot you the link. They write, "There was a Monty Python writer's argument about whether a joke is funnier with a sheep or a goat. I think the goat won by a beard. To your question about the biblical bias against goats, I think it comes down to nature. Goats wander, sheep follow. Religion wants followers, of course. I like that you ask if there was a third option. Fortunately, there is. Meet the geep, G-E-E-P. There are multiple examples of goat-sheep hybrids. Wikipedia claims there is also a goat-sheep chimera, and cats go to the dark side of the moon when no one can find them. It is a well-known fact." Ah, these are excellent points. Yes, I don't know that I was super aware of the geep, but indeed they do exist. I would agree with Monty Python. I mean, when in concerning matters of humor and the absurd, they are and were experts. So yeah, I would say a goat is inherently funnier than a sheep, in the same way that cheese is funnier than butter. I mean, there's just no denying it. And yes, cats going to the dark side of the moon, where no one can find them. I believe this stems from some of the short fiction of H.P. Lovecraft, though in all likelihood he got it from somewhere as well. I mean, these folk traditions of black cats and the nature of cats certainly goes way back. All right, let's see. Do we have something else about goats? We do have more goats listener mail here to read. This one says, "Hi, Robert and Joe." This one, by the way, is from Susan. "I love the show. I ate up the goats slash devil episodes. For a couple of years, I was a groom and exercise rider at a fox hunting barn outside of Columbus, Georgia. This hunt used a herd of about 200 goats and their smell to desensitize the foxhounds to deer. Foxhounds normally are distracted by deer and chase deer instead of the fox. The master of hounds had discovered that if the hounds had a herd of goats living all around the kennels, they were not excited by deer scent in the field. So far as I know, he was unique in having solved this problem this way. He imported a special long-haired goat type, Egyptian goats," and a picture is included here, for me anyway, "maybe because they are super stinky. The herd roamed around the kennels and stables at will. When they ambled into the stables every pre-dawn, it sounded like a crowd of farty, sneezing, coughing old people. It's not only their calls that sound human. Again, thanks for the great show, great fun and info, Susan." Oh, now I was really fascinated by this. I'd never heard this. I'm not super familiar with the practices of fox hunting and so forth. But this is fascinating. Thanks for sending this in. And I love the tidbit about the farty, sneezing, coughing fits of the goat and how this also made them sound more human. And again, I'm reminded of the sea lions of the Galapagos Islands and how they make a lot of similar noises and can often sound very human in this regard. All right, we have more goat-related listener mail here. This one gets a little more into, I guess, demonology, angelology. This one comes to us from Michael from Tasmania, Australia. Michael writes in and says, "Just listening to the pod, and I'm sure there will be plenty of feedback on Joe's pronunciation of Azazel, the fallen angel, but couldn't help myself." And this is rather interesting, and I imagine Joe would want me to read this. So Michael points out Azazel, actually pronounced Azazel, not Azazel, is the name of the demon in the Denzel Washington, John Goodman, and Torres from Star Trek Voyager, don't know the actor's name off the top of my head, sorry, movie Fallen, which is a great supernatural thriller if you guys haven't seen it. Not sure if it has aged well, but I recall thoroughly enjoying it at the time. Love your guys' work, been a listener for about 8 years now, and the Bicameral Mind episodes are still my absolute favorite. Michael." Yeah, thanks for the note here. I mean, I know in Webster's both pronunciations are provided, but it sounds like maybe one is maybe more authentic to the original usage. As for the movie Fallen from 1998, look at that. It's this one would, I guess, in some ways be eligible for Weird House the way we've been doing it. But yeah, it's been a long time since I have seen this one. I did see it at one point, and it had a pretty great cast looking at it now. I mean, because you, of course, had Denzel Washington and John Goodman, but also Donald Sutherland, James Gandolfini, who else? Robert Joy, who's played a lot of creepy characters over the years. So, but that being said, I don't have very strong memories about this one. I kind of remember it just being on at the time. Maybe I rented it, but yeah, it's been a very long time. It does stem from a period where I think we did have multiple weirder Denzel Washington pictures. I know that Joe and I have frequently discussed, at least offhand, how weird and fun Virtuosity from 1995 was. That was the one where, if memory serves, Denzel Washington was a cop and Russell Crowe played like a blue-blooded clone that is also kind of a patchwork creation based on all the serial killers of history or something like that. Kind of a strange plot, but I remember it being vaguely fun. In kind of an action mid-90s manner. So at any rate, maybe I'll have to go back and look at some of these films in more detail and indeed see how they hold up or don't hold up.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, this next one comes to us from Adam. Adam writes in and says, "Hi, folks. I loved your first episode on goats and demons. I heard you mention that you would reference the Hebrew Bible in the next one, and I figured you would touch on the goat sent to Azazel or Azazel. So I wanted to give some deeper context on that subject. Firstly, the act of transferring the sins of Israel into the goat and sending it off is still within Jewish practice today, but it is somewhat different. Around Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, there is a practice called kaparah, in which a chicken is usually waved over someone's head. Many Jews will do this in a humane way that doesn't hurt the chicken, transferring one's sins into that chicken. Then, though we don't wish for the chicken to suffer pain, that chicken is still slaughtered, but Jewish slaughtering practices require a quick and painless death. Thus, your sins are removed. For those who wish not to harm an animal at all, some will wave money over an individual's head, transferring one's sins into the money, and then the money is spent, wiping you clean of sin." Oh, now this is very fascinating. This reminds me of some other practices and kind of makes me want to do a magical money episode in the future. Anyway, Adam continues. "Separately, I wanted to mention that biblical scholars are not clear whether the goat in the Torah that is sent to Azazel or Azazel is sent to an entity or a place. It's not definitely known whether Azazel, Azazel was a demon or whatnot originally. However, if you look at the name Azazel, Azazel, there are important features. Firstly, the L at the end of the name is not like the L, that's E-L in English, found at the end of other theophoric names denoting the name of God or another deity. This L is not L with a case, so he's pointing out that it's lowercase, not uppercase. It's not capitalized. The spelling of the Hebrew letters for Azazel or Azazel is, and then he writes, Ayin, Zayin, Aleph, Zayin, Lamed. Most interestingly is that this name seems to be a combination of the word for goat, Ez, Aenzean, and the Aramaic word for walk, go, Azel, Aleph-Zayin Lamed. So at the very least, the goat is sent on a quote-unquote goat walk or Azazel. So thanks for all you do, Adam. So this was very fascinating to hear. I love these breakdowns of the origins of some of these words, and again, how words and symbols change over time. But the idea of this this name that often gets reinterpreted as kind of a spooky demon name, to sort of fall back on this sort of duality of pronunciation, like Azazel sounds very regal and terrifying, and you can imagine some sort of demonic being. But to think of sending a demon out on an Azazel, a goat walk to nowhere, that's a little bit funny. Kind of go back to the Monty Python thing. Once you cast the demon into the goat, you've not only robbed it of its powers, but you've also made it a little comical. You've put it in a vessel that is inherently funny. All right, and now we're going to get into a couple of non-goat listener mails. This first one, I think, is in response to an older episode. This may have been a listener mail, but this is from listener Charlie. Charlie writes, and it says, "Hello, I'm very behind on the pod, but I just listened to an email you read of mine and wanted to clear up the confusion you had on boys. This is not B-O-Y-S, but B-O-I-S. Now, if memory serves, this was a situation where someone had written in using this terminology, and we were a little less familiar with it, and maybe had a question or two. So anyway, Charlie is here with some answers. Charlie writes, I hail from the Tumblr corner of the internet. Do not recommend for those of weak constitution. You've been warned. And it is generally accepted there that boy with an I is gender nonspecific or neutral. Or at least it was around 2014. Now the trend seems to be gendered term GN, GN standing for gendered neutral. For example, you might call someone a quote-unquote Skeletor girl GN to denote their appreciation for the bewilderingly buff skeleton man from He-Man. Within a fan community, who you quote-unquote girl for typically ascribes personality traits based on that character. It is not the same as being coded as that character. You could absolutely be both quote-unquote Skeletor coded and a quote-unquote Skeletor girl, and this would have nothing to do with your gender presentation. Sorry for the Skeletor tangent. Didn't see that one coming. Thanks, Charlie." No, thank you, Charlie, for a little illumination here on the terminology. And, of course, any discussions of Skeletor are always welcome. All right, we have one more here. This is a listener mail in response to a recent episode of Weird House Cinema. In fact, it's response to one of the guest co-host episodes that we've been running during Joe's parental leave. This one comes to us from Dan. Dan writes in and says, "Dear Robert and David, just listened to your episode on The Gate, and I thought David Streepy did a great job. I look forward to him coming back on Weird House Cinema in the future to discuss something else. The first time I ever saw The Gate was back in middle school, when I was roughly the same age as Glenn and Terry on Saturday afternoon television in the late 90s. The scene where the demon versions of Glenn and Al's parents come home and Dad picks up Glenn and says, 'You've been bad,' is one of those scenes that has lingered in the back of my mind ever since, as has the many scenes involving the gremlins attacking the kids. Funnily enough, I had always thought that it was the playing of the heavy metal record backwards that actually summons the demons. This, I think, was also my first exposure to the myth about if you play heavy metal records backwards, you can hear quote-unquote hidden satanic messages. Quick note about Terry's bedroom wall. The black and white pin-drawn poster you see amongst the Iron Maiden and Judas Priest posters is the cover of a compilation album by the psychobilly band The Cramps. Also, you can briefly see the cover of another Cramps compilation album on his drum set. This is the one that is lime green with a smiling zombie-like creature. So Terry's got great taste in music. Congratulations and best wishes to Joe. I'm sure he can't wait until the day he can show his daughter Attack of the Crab Monsters without her getting nightmares. Best wishes and happy Halloween, Dan." Yeah. Okay. So just, let's see, the response to some of this. So first of all, thanks for the insight into Terry's bedroom and all the bands he was into. This makes me appreciate the design effort that went into creating that set even more. And again, just a terrific film, The Gate. I really enjoyed it. And moving on to some of the other issues. Yeah, it was great to have Dave Streepy on the show. Dave's been a friend of mine for many years. He and his wife frequently watch episodes of the 90s Outer Limits with my wife and me. So we have that. We used to watch MST3Ks together all the time. So our appreciation for weird movies goes way back. And yeah, so I just if you do enjoy what Dave had to share and Dave's take on things, again, check out the Talkin' Tofu podcast that he does with his wife Becky. And yeah, as for Joe, I too look forward to the day when he can show his daughter Attack of the Crab Monsters. And in general, I think it is going to be neat to see where things go with the show over the next few years, because I know when I became a parent, I mean, it changes some of the things you're into. It makes you rethink old pieces of media that you used to enjoy. It makes you rediscover things from your childhood and then re-examine them through the child's interests. And then you find yourself also curious about things that were never part of your childhood but were part of theirs. So suddenly you're learning about Pokemon. You're finding out what a Lickitung is and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I wonder if Weird House Cinema will, I don't think it would become completely child-centric, obviously, but I look forward to seeing what sort of films Joe brings to the table as his daughter maybe reignites some of his appreciation for these childhood films. And maybe we were already seeing a little of that in the run-up to the birth. All right. Well, that's all I have to read here today, but certainly keep them coming in. I think the way the timeline's coming together, there'll be maybe one more listener mail without Joe. And so if the mailbag is full enough at that point, maybe I'll do another one of these. Maybe not. Maybe we'll skip it and do something else and then have a nice fat bag of listener mail to look at when Joe comes back to the show. But at any rate, yeah, let me just remind everyone that listener mail normally runs on Mondays in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcast feed. You can find that feed wherever you get your podcasts. We do core episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Wednesdays, a short form artifact or monster fact episode. And on Fridays, that's Weird House Cinema time. Time to set aside most serious concerns and just talk about a weird film. Let's see, what else? At the outset, I mentioned the Discord and the Facebook group. I mentioned the Letterboxd account. There is still merch. I often forget to highlight the merch, but yes, we have a T Public store for Stuff to Blow Your Mind. There's also some Weird House Cinema merch in there as well. If you need a quicker way to get to that, if you go to stufftoblowyourmind.com, that'll shoot you over to the iHeart listing for this show, and there is a tab there for the merch store, for our store. So you can check all that stuff out. I mean, it's all that stuff is just for fun, but if you would like any kind of merchandise with either the Stuff to Blow Your Mind logo, the Weird House Cinema logo, or just some other fun designs we've come up over the years, including the Rub the Fur t-shirt and so forth, well, that is where you'll find them. Thanks, as always, to Seth Nicholas Johnson for producing Stuff to Blow Your Mind, and he'll be joining me on some more episodes as well during Joe's parental leave. And finally, if you want to reach out to us via email, well, here's how you do it. You can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.